From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, one U.S. university says it will reverse its ban on Iranian science students, but other schools still have a ban in place.
And that reversal is happening as U.S. and Iranian diplomats meet in Geneva, where talks are resuming over Iran's nuclear program, which led to that ban in the first place. Secretary of State John Kerry will meet his Iranian counterpart Sunday to try and broker a deal that could lift economic sanctions on Iran and limit the country's nuclear capabilities. Karim Sajjadpour is a policy analyst for the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, joins us from Washington. And Karim, we're nearing the latest deadline to reach a deal, which is March 31st. What do you expect will come out of this weekend's talks?
They're making forward progress. I think the outstanding points at the moment are the number of centrifuges which Iran should be allowed to spin, the length of time the agreement should endure for, and how sanctions relief is phased out. The Iranians have been calling for an immediate lifting of all sanctions, which is unlikely to happen. So they're going to have to come up with some creative solutions. But this issue is a pendulum. You know, one week it looks very bleak, the next week it looks optimistic, and I think the more recent news that's come out in the last week or so has been more optimistic about the prospects for concluding this deal.
But why has this been taking so long? Why hasn't some of the relief on the existing sanctions been enough to spur Iran to do what the U.S. is asking them to do?
Well, if you're looking at this from an economic perspective, it's an absolute no-brainer. But from the standpoint of Iran's leadership, they feel they've invested a lot in this program and they're trying to get everything that they can. And frankly, it's much more of a political issue than it is a technical or an economic issue. You have hardline forces in Tehran who are fearful that if a nuclear deal happens, that could spur greater U.S.-Iran cooperation, which could undermine their hold on power.
But how long can they afford to not reach a deal with the economy as it is in Iran? And certainly low oil prices are not making anything better.
Well, it's a good question. Iran is hemorrhaging money on three fronts. They're hemorrhaging hundreds of billions because of sanctions. They're hemorrhaging tens of billions because of the drop in oil prices. And they're hemorrhaging billions to keep Bashar al-Assad in power in Syria. But I think the reality is that these authoritarian regimes in the Middle East are more stable than we would like to admit, because I think the Iranian population certainly isn't happy with the status quo system in Iran. They're not happy with lack of political, social freedoms, lack of economic dignity. But even if a deal isn't concluded, I think it's unlikely that the population is going to rise up. And I think the regime knows that. And for that reason, they haven't appeared overeager of trying to sign this deal.
As you know, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to address a joint session of the U.S. Congress on March 3rd. Depending on what he says, do you think he could derail a potential deal?
Netanyahu, I think, would like Congress to pass sanctions and further pressure Iran, which would indeed derail a deal. I think that's unlikely to happen. But I think what's happening now is a negative dynamic for the United States. And that is that up until now, I think much of the outside world, especially the P5 plus one, which is negotiating with Iran, would argue that the reason a deal hasn't yet been signed is the intransigence of Tehran's hardliners, in particular Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. And I think Netanyahu is now starting to deflect the blame to himself. And so there is a possibility he comes to Congress, he gives a fiery speech, and if talks fail and we go back to escalation, a lot of the outside world is going to blame Bibi Netanyahu rather than Ali Khamenei. And I don't think that's positive for U.S. interests.
And if talks do fail and a deal is not struck, do you see any situation in which Iran is attacked by Israel or anyone else to keep that country from getting a nuclear weapon?
Certainly not in the near term. I think a more likely possibility is that there isn't a comprehensive resolution, but instead of a revert to the status quo ante and escalation and potential conflict, we continue to have what I've called managed irresolution, which is, you know, the two sides fail to meet in the same place, but there's a recognition in both Tehran and Washington that it behooves both of them to have the talks keep going. So I'm not worried about a military attack, certainly in the next year or so. And the Iranians have been shrewd enough to take a very deliberate approach towards the nuclear program. They don't put their foot on the accelerator and dash towards a nuclear weapon. They move their car very slowly, you know, 10 miles an hour.
Karim Sajjadpour, policy analyst for the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Karim, thanks so much as always.
Anytime. Thank you.